Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
We're going to be meeting with the Lord later, as well as now, hallelujah. He's coming back. I said he's coming back. He's coming again. You don't sound very excited. He's coming again. Now, what will happen when he comes again? Does that really need to concern us now? And the answer to that is most emphatically yes. But what will he do when he comes again? Let's turn to Revelation 22. Verse 12. Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me. My reward is with me. My reward is with me. What's going to happen when he comes again? He's going to bring your reward. Now that raises the inevitable question, what is the reward? The reward is not salvation. Because salvation is a gift, it's not a reward. Salvation is the result of what Jesus has done for us. It's the work of his grace, it's not a reward. If we read on, we see the reward is not to do with what Jesus has done, but with what we have done. Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me to give to each person what his deeds deserve. I've never heard anybody else preach about reward. All the years that I've been a Christian and all the conferences I've been to, international conferences all over the world, and listening to lots of other speakers, I've never, ever heard anybody speak about reward. And yet Jesus said a lot about reward. And he said on a number of occasions that God will reward each one for what he has done. If we look back to Isaiah 40, we see that this coming again is a result of the prophetic word of God. In verse 10 of chapter 40, see, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense, that is what he pays back for what you have done. His recompense accompanies him. So Jesus says in Revelation 24, he brings his reward. So we're faced with two distinct truths, that of salvation, which I'm not going to talk about tonight because I think we're all familiar with that. but perhaps not quite so familiar with the subject of reward. It obviously matters what we do, because Jesus says that when he comes again, he's going to bring the reward for what we have done. So, this could suggest that some people will be saved but won't have a reward. Somebody can be saved on their deathbed, but they won't have a reward. So we've got two distinct truths here. Some will be saved, but only as through fire, but won't have a reward. They've got in by the grace and mercy of God, but there's no reward. I don't know about you. I'm thankful for my salvation, but I want a great reward. Now, let's just see some of what Jesus says about reward. I've just got some scriptures written down here that I can refer to very quickly. He speaks about reward in two ways: the present reward that we get for what we do, and the future reward, which we will get when he comes again with his reward. So he says that when we give, if we give secretly without any flourish, without trying to impress others, then your Father who sees what you do secretly will reward you. So there will be a reward not just for what we give, but the way in which we give. Now you could say that will be a present reward, you can say it will be a future reward, but there will be a reward if we just give secretly. If we give like the Pharisees gave, you know, a big flourish and look what I'm giving, there'll be no reward. But there is a reward for giving secretly. I believe we've got a duty to teach reward to our people, because we don't want them to miss reward. We don't want them just to get saved but not have a reward. Then I mentioned earlier in the conference what Jesus says about prayer. When you pray, go in your private room, shut the door, and pray unseen by others to your Father who is also unseen, and your Father sees and rewards what you do secretly. So there's a reward for secret prayer. You husbands and wives, it's nice if you pray together, but you must pray on your own, because that's where the reward is. Jesus says there's got to be that intimate relationship between himself and you. That's what's going to bring reward. There'll be a present reward for that. But I believe even the present reward will also have an impact on the eternal reward. Jesus says, everyone who has left behind homes, brothers, sisters, father, mother, children, or possessions on my behalf will receive 100 times as much as he has sacrificed and will also inherit eternal life. So there's a present reward. He's going to get 100 times back now. And he's going to have an eternal reward, the reward of eternal life. Why? Because he has given sacrificially. Sacrificial giving brings a reward. Are you breathing still? This is the gospel. This is what Jesus Christ, the Son of God, taught. Is that okay? Of course it is. Then, of course, in several of his parables, he's talking about reward. Matthew 25, for example. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have proved faithful in a small way. Now I will give you much more responsibility. Faithfulness brings reward. Greater responsibility. And then he says, come and share in your master's joy. So being able to share in the Lord's joy is part of the reward. If you come across a joyless Christian, which should be a contradiction in terms, but if you do, that Christian is obviously not enjoying any reward. So something must be wrong, probably sitting around waiting to be ministered to instead of giving and serving and blessing. But then Jesus says later, for everyone who is faithful in using what he has received will be given more. That's reward. So much more that he will have an abundance. The abundance is a reward. But those who are unfruitful in the way they use the little they have will end up with nothing. Now you see, in this parable, three servants were given various amounts according to their capacity. But the one, it seems, who buried his gift not only missed out on the abundance, not only missed out on the reward, but even what he had, he lost. Now you can interpret that how you will. Jesus also said, you are to love your enemies and seek to do them good. Lend to others without expecting repayment. Then your reward will be great. So there's a reward, a great reward, for lending without expecting repayment. It then becomes a gift. And there's a great reward. This is Luke 6:35, if you want to jot down the reference. For you will be acting as sons of the Most High God. So we've been hearing about sons. Well, what do sons do? They lend without expecting it back. Why? Because they count nothing as their own. You need it, here it is. If it comes back, fine, but if it doesn't, well, it's a gift. I'm not expecting it back. I'm a son of God. I thought I'd preach this and then tell you how much I want to borrow from each of you. So that you can then have a great heavenly reward. You think I'm joking. Jesus said, you will be blessed because they're unable to repay you. Instead, you will be rewarded when God's children are raised from the dead. God's keeping accounts in heaven. He's reckoning up your reward all the time. You could say it in his foreknowledge, he knows what it's going to be, but, you know, the account is running. Hello? Obviously, not everybody in heaven is going to be the same, because Jesus talks about the greatest and the least in the kingdom of heaven. I don't want to be numbered among the least, do you? I don't want to be saved but only as through fire. I don't want salvation but no reward. I don't think that's being selfish. I think that's being sensible. If there's a reward going, I want it. Is that all right? I don't care whether it is or not. That's where I'm going. Jesus said that we're to rejoice when we're persecuted, because there will be a great reward. I've suffered a lot of persecution in my ministry, probably more than most. The more God uses somebody, the more they get persecuted. But every time I get persecuted, I say, thank you very much, I've got a greater reward. You have helped me to have a greater reward. It sort of takes the sting out of the persecution. You can look at the whole situation positively. I mean, Jesus said this, your reward will be great in heaven. You will have a great reward because you've been persecuted. So bring it on. I'm going to be rewarded. Hallelujah. Jesus says some strange things, actually, about reward. He says, if somebody gives to a prophet because he is a prophet, he's going to get the prophet's reward. If somebody gives to someone because he's righteous, then he's going to get the righteous man's reward. If anybody gives to one of his disciples because he is a disciple, he's going to get a disciple's reward. I don't quite know how to work that one out, but Jesus said it, so it must be right. Whatever a prophet's reward is going to be. Just a glass of water and you can get it. But there's a lot that Jesus says about the future reward. He says that when the Master returns, when he comes again, if he finds his servant fulfilling his duties diligently, then that servant will be well rewarded. So nobody knows when he's coming again. So when he does, he needs to find us serving. He needs to find us doing faithfully what he's called us to do. Then we'll be well rewarded. Are you still there? Jesus says, that everyone is going to be rewarded according to what he has done. Your deeds bring reward. Now, how are we going to understand what this reward is? Paul says that he is rewarded for preaching the gospel, and that his reward is knowing that he's done the will of God. He says that there's a reward for he who plants and he who waters. each will be rewarded according to what he has done. Some are called to plant, some are called to water. But each will receive his just reward. He also says in 1 Corinthians 3 that every man's works, every man's deeds are going to be tested by fire. Some deeds will get burnt up in the fire, and for those there'll be no reward. But there will be a rich reward for those deeds that survive the testing fire. Now he says this is the way all our deeds are going to be tested, by fire. If they're wood, hay, stubble, they're going to get burnt up. If they're silver, gold, precious stones, they're going to survive. How can we distinguish between the reward, the deeds that will bring rewards, that will survive the fire, and those that won't? Ultimately, obviously, God is going to be the judge of that, but is there some way in which we can understand? Earlier in the book of Revelation, where we were looking just now in chapter 2, we read this: "Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. Be warned, the devil is about to have some of you thrown into prison. This will be a severe test that will last for 10 days. Remain faithful, even to the point of dying, for what you believe. And I will give you the crown of life." What is the reward? The ultimate reward is the crown of life. You can be saved, but not crowned. Now, just depending upon your eschatology, when Jesus comes again, will it be to establish his millennium kingdom on earth? Or will it be to herald the new heaven and the new earth? But you see, if you're a premillennialist, you will say, well, when he comes again, only those that have the crown will reign with him. And that's substantiated by what Jesus said. You know, the faithful will be put in charge of so many cities. That's a reward. It's a reward for the faithfulness of those people. Some will be put in charge of more cities than others. They will be sharing in the reign of God, however you want to interpret that. It seems, therefore, that there's going to be a difference between those who survive the judgment and those who reign with Christ for all eternity. Now, something about overcoming is in this equation. Because as we read, not just that one, but all the letters that the Spirit is writing to the churches in Asia Minor in chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation, there is a reward for those who overcome. There is a reward for the victorious in every one of those letters. Not just a reward for the saved, but a reward for the overcomers, a reward for the victorious. Those who have persevered to the end, even to the point of death. There is reward. How often do we preach this stuff? I wouldn't want anybody that for whom I was responsible to come before the Lord on the day of judgment and say to him, well, my pastor never taught me about reward. I didn't know Jesus. If I'd understood about reward, I'd have done so much more with my life. You see, what happens when you're saved, you get a new life. You become a new creation. You're born again. You now live in total acceptance before God. Jesus Christ is your holiness, your righteousness, your redemption, your wisdom from God. But you still haven't done anything. And God has saved you to work. Anybody he's saved to work. He saved them to earn their reward. You see, this is not familiar language in evangelical Christianity. Because as soon as you start talking about earning reward, people think you're undermining salvation. No, 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 no. We get saved first and then we work for the reward. But if we don't realize we have to work for the reward, we're going to miss the reward. And if we don't understand what working for the reward involves. Now, let us say, there's a whole lot more scriptures we could go into, but time doesn't really allow. So let us just understand that basically the reward is to reign with Christ. Not just to exist eternally in heaven, but to reign and rule with Him. To be enthroned with Him. I want that reward. Now, just as salvation is a work of God's grace, so reward actually is the result of His grace. Because it's only by depending upon His grace that we can do the works that bring the reward. Now, this reward, it seems from what Jesus and others say in the New Testament, all revolve around this concept of the crown of glory. That the reward is to receive the crown of glory, is to receive the crown of life. Not just to be in the glory, but to receive the crown of glory. And to share in His eternal reign. I'm going for that. I don't know about you, but I'm going for that. I want everybody I know to go for that too. So I need to depend upon the grace of God and the empowering of His Spirit to enable me to do the works that are going to earn the reward, the works that will survive the testing by fire. Amen. Now, we started yesterday talking about soul and spirit. There's no reward for soulish works. Have you realized something? I guarantee that this is true about the people in your church. That the soulish ones have probably no, but certainly very, very little revelation of the kingdom in their lives. They don't think kingdom, they don't speak kingdom, they don't act kingdom, they don't have kingdom faith, they don't exercise kingdom authority, because they're dependent upon the natural. The soulish ones think church, the spiritual ones think kingdom. That's one of the ways in which you can tell the difference between the two. Just like, you know, when we were talking last conference about the church, the biblical apostolic church is the spiritual church, the spiritual people that God is wanting to raise up, whereas the tradition was very soulish, with very little revelation of the kingdom. I can remember years and years ago when I started going around preaching the kingdom of God. This is no exaggeration. I mean, I was doing major meetings all over this country. I mean, people would take the biggest hall that was there in town or in the city, and it would be packed out. And I was preaching the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom. And it was just a steady stream of people would come up to me and say, "We've never heard this." These are people who have been in church all their lives. Now, praise God, since then, there's been a lot of preaching about the kingdom, so that wouldn't be true now. But then it was true that because actually there was so little of the dynamism of the Spirit in the churches, there was just no revelation of the kingdom. But we're called to be a reigning people, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And what will be the reward for living like that? The crown of life. The crown of glory. And we will be ruling and reigning with Him for all eternity. Somebody say hallelujah. So how important that everybody has this revelation of the kingdom so that they are living kingdom life. They have kingdom faith. Their whole being is to serve the kingdom. That in serving God, they're serving the kingdom. They are kingdom people. But you know, for the soulish ones, it's church meetings and church functions and church services and church positions and church appointments. I love my church. And there isn't any sense of the kingdom. But where God's people are really moving in the Spirit of God, they have transcended that thinking and they're kingdom people. If you relate to kingdom faith, it's because you're kingdom people. Because we're kingdom people. So the rewards are going to be for that which the Spirit does in us. That's grace. Because actually it's not we that do the works, but the Spirit that do the works in us, and we get the reward. The reward is for allowing the Spirit to work through us. But there's no reward for working for God. Well, I don't want you to work for me. I want to work through you. So while you're working for me, I can't work through you. So you can work through for me if you like, but there'll be no reward. But as soon as you let me work through you, then there'll be reward. Why? Because it's the King of Glory that will be working through us. The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. It's His life, His power, His authority that will be working through us. And although it's Him that does the work, we get the reward. Just for letting Him do it. Just for cooperating with Him. So it's not so much as when He comes again with His reward, we will be able to stand before Him and say, "Oh Lord, look what I've done." He says, "You didn't do it, I did it. But I'm giving you the reward because you allowed me to do it. You cooperated with me and you let me do it through you." So it's all grace. Because that's grace. Grace, our dependence upon God's grace, enables us to earn the reward. that comes from allowing the Spirit to produce His works. You see, the thing is this, that if the Spirit does it, it'll be a work that lasts. If it's a work that lasts, it will survive the fire. It will survive the testing. And Jesus said, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, fruit that lasts." So because the Father is glorified, you get the reward. Even though really it was Him that did the work. Now, Jesus, He got a reward. Oh, come on. I mean, listen, Jesus gave His all on the cross, right? Yes. Now, He got saved from death. He was raised. Yes. Amen?
Yes.
But then when He ascended to heaven, He got His reward. Yes. Why? Because He'd been faithful and obedient, and He'd let the Father do exactly what He wanted with Him while He was on earth.
Yes.
So now He is the Lamb in the midst of the throne. How do you understand that? Well, the Scripture says, God says, "Heaven is my throne." So the throne, you know, is not just a seat. Heaven is His throne. So in the midst of heaven is the Lamb that was sacrificed on the cross, standing, looking as if He had been slain. But He's enjoying His glorious reward for all His faithful and loving obedience to the Father. And you see, by the grace of God, we will be saved, we will be raised from the dead.
Yes.
We will go through the judgment, not on the basis of what we've done, but on the basis of what Jesus has done for us. But then having come through the judgment, we will see what our reward is.
Amen.
Now, I don't believe the reward is so much to do with the amount of works, but with the amount of obedience. Because God knows the capacity of each one. And in these parables that Jesus taught, He says that, you know, the master, the Lord, gives to each one according to his capacity. But He does expect us to fulfill our capacity. Those that have potential that is never realized have no reward. The potential has to be realized to gain the reward. Is everybody still breathing?
Yes.
You see, you can see why this would not necessarily be so popular as just saying, "Praise God, we're saved." But I don't want people to be saved and find they've missed the reward because they didn't understand. Because they didn't live bearing the fruit of obedience to the Spirit. Because they still lived a soulish kind of Christianity. That, yes, got them saved because of their faith in His grace, but no great reward. They didn't reign on earth, so they won't reign in heaven. They'll be in heaven. But not crowned. Not reigning. I've just finished the study edition of The Truth, as I told you yesterday. I had to do the notes on Revelation. Oh boy, was that fun. Because, you know, I had to read up what everybody else believes and thinks about Revelation, because I didn't know what I believed about it. So the wisest thing I've ever heard about the book of Revelation was this: never believe anybody who tells you he understands it. And I read so many different interpretations of Revelation, and everybody thought they were right.
Yeah.
So I made it quite clear in my introduction that I wasn't coming from that. I said, well, let's just understand that nobody really understands it, and there's all kinds of possibilities, and it's only going to work out in the way that God intends anyway. I mean, do you take it literally? Do you take it allegorically? Do you take all the numbers as being actually specific numbers or just relating to extended or shorter periods of time? And, you know, are the two witnesses the church, or are they actually two people that will be there on the streets of Jerusalem? I mean, you can have a game with the book of Revelation. And as far as I can see, no two people agree. So, you know, I don't think we come with any great sense of, I've got it. But I believe God has put that book there to keep us humble. And to keep us in a place where we are never going to understand it all. But he's told us enough to warn us, as well as to encourage us. I mean, it's nice if you want to think of the rapture happening before the time of tribulation. It's highly unlikely, really, if you look at the book of Revelation, but you can make it appear that that's the case if you don't want to face the time of tribulation. It's very popular, especially in the States, to avoid the tribulation. So let's have the rapture before the tribulation instead of at the end of the tribulation. Very popular. You have to really maneuver the text to make it say that, but people are very good at maneuvering texts when they want to believe something. I mean, is Jesus going to rapture them to save them from the tribulation? Oh, no, I'm not going to get there. You see, we're not people sitting around waiting for a rapture. We've got work to do. And when he comes, he needs to find us faithfully doing the work that he's called us to do, especially if we're in leadership. Because Jesus says, you know, will those in leadership be actually serving the people in the way that God intends when he comes again? If you paraphrase what he says. So now you can see why there's been this consistency. It doesn't matter who's been speaking. There's been this consistency all the way through this conference between the contrasting the soul and the spirit. And we can see now why. To actually prepare for the coming again of Jesus, there has to be a spiritual church. May not be very big. I mean, you know, Jesus says, when he comes again, will he find faith on the earth? I mean, that's a bit... What a question. I mean, will he find faith? Well, I believe he will. But it's faith that will have gone through a lot of testing. But those who hold fast to the end, even to the point of death, will receive the crown of life. That to me sounds like going through times of tribulation. I mean, you might believe that the time of tribulation has passed. You might believe we're in it, especially... No, I won't go there either. But... You might think that time is in the future. You see, there's all kinds of interpretations. But let's get on with the job. I've never really had time to worry about the book of Revelation and how to interpret it until I had to when I was doing this study version. But actually, I learned a lot. I learned a lot about what other people believe, and I learned more about what I think I believe. And I learned more about what crackpots believe. But actually, I want to get on with the job. But the importance of it is to understand that whatever we have to go through before Jesus comes again, when he comes again, he's going to bring his reward and his recompense with him. That will be the time when what you have done will be assessed. And you will see the righteous judgment of God upon your works. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm very thankful for the mercy of God. Because there are times when we all mess up. There are times when we fail. But you see, the great thing is that through his mercy we receive forgiveness. And that means that the messing up does not invalidate the works. That actually there'll be no negative reward for that which is forgiven. Because from the book, you know, the books will be open on the day of judgment, and there's a book with your name on it, and in that book is recorded everything that you have done so that God can assess your reward. But those things that have been forgiven are erased from the record. Somebody say hallelujah, quick. Hallelujah. So they won't come into the reckoning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it's good to keep short accounts with the Lord, isn't it? Amen. Make sure everything is squeaky clean. That we're not in judging anybody so that we don't place ourselves under judgment. We're not refusing to forgive someone so that the Father won't forgive us. But that we're continually living in the mercy of God. And that's, of course, the warning that we receive through the parable of the unmerciful servant. We're not going to be like him, wailing and grinding of teeth, and doesn't sound very sort of attractive, really. So I'm going for reward, not the wailing and grinding of teeth. Is that all right? So I'm going to be merciful because the merciful are blessed and they will obtain mercy. So I praise God. It's only the reward is not negated if I make mistakes. If I do something wrong, if I miss God. But every time I cooperate with him and honor him and do what he's telling me to do, whoopee, there's a reward. Now, actually, I don't do it for the reward. I do it because of my love for him. Because why do we obey? We obey out of love. Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey my commands. So we obey out of love. And he says, I reward you. Now, come on, you can understand this. Most of you have brought up kids. And you like to reward them, the little darlings. Oh, you've been so good. Have a Mars bar. And, of course, there's the threat. You'll only get a Mars bar if you're good. But God doesn't deal with us quite like that. But something like that, really. But he says, no, if you are faithful in doing what I ask you to do, you will be richly rewarded. If you give what I ask you to give, you'll be richly rewarded. If you get into the secret place with me in prayer, you'll be richly rewarded. When you're persecuted, you'll be richly rewarded. Every time you cooperate with me in obedience to my word, and allow my spirit to work through you, you will be richly rewarded. Amen. What a God. Because you see, we know that we don't deserve a reward. That even if we were to be the most obedient believer on earth, we would still not deserve a reward. It's still the work of His mercy. It's still the work of His grace. But you see, God is a great motivator. Why do you offer people rewards? To motivate them. Sometimes we try to motivate people without talking to them about the reward. Whereas Jesus talked about the reward to motivate them. Do we think we can do something better than Jesus did? Jesus constantly talked about reward to motivate people. So why don't we talk about reward? To motivate. Wow. I'm going to receive the crown of life.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to get the crown of glory. I mean, this is how we want our people to think. Not just us. Everybody's going for the crown of glory. Woo-hoo! Now, what does the scripture say? Run to win the prize. But listen. Nobody gets the prize until the end of the race. If you're running a marathon and you're 1 mile ahead of everybody else and you're 3/4 the way through the marathon, you still can't stop and say, ah, it's a done deal. I'm going to win easily. You still won't get the prize unless you finish the race. You could be Arsenal beating Man United 6-0 with 2 minutes to go, but you still won't get the trophy until the final whistle goes. Oh, the revelation's flowing tonight. Ooh, it's all over me. Was that a prophetic word? I have a seconder. Hallelujah. So we've got to finish the race. Because the reward is only for those who finish the race. Not for those who give up. I think some of those who give up, they might get saved as through fire, but they've missed the reward because they gave up. You see, what is the reward for giving up? What is the recompense for giving up? I don't know, all that's in the Lord's hands, isn't it? But Jesus talks about being faithful to the end and receiving the crown of life. So, hallelujah. Now, why? Why do we need revival in the church? So we can work. Or rather, so that God can work through us in the way that only He can work. Why does the whole body need to be revived? Because the head wants to express His life through every member of the body. Therefore, to be glorified in every member of the body. Therefore, every member of the body bearing fruit that will last, because it's the life of the head that is doing the work in them and through them for the glory, honor, and praise of His name. Are we getting this?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Jesus is coming again. And his reward is with him. And he says, he will reward each one according to what he has done. According to what the servant of God has done. Salvation is the gift that is a result of what he has done for us. Reward is the gift that you have earned, if you can put it that way, by allowing the Spirit of God to work through you and produce the fruit that lasts. I wonder if you, on Sunday morning, said to people, I've done this sometimes with big groups of people. Say, stand up all the Christian workers. And you know, usually you get the full-time guys standing up. I just stand there and I wait. And slowly people begin to understand. We should all be on our feet. We're all called to be workers. We're all called to do the works that God will reward. Christ in us, the hope of glory. So why do we need to be yielded to the Spirit? Because we can't do the works that will last otherwise. Why do we need to be led by the Spirit? Because if we're not, then we'll do the soulish things for which there's no reward and no lasting fruit. So you see, it all hangs together, doesn't it? But isn't it great that as we were hearing earlier today, you can train and equip your people and prepare them for a great reward. Thank you for your response. Amen. Isn't that great?
Amen.
That they're not working for you. They're working for him.
Amen.
And they're actually earning their reward. See, you know, even that sort of phrase, earning their reward, it's sort of, no, it's all a gift of God's grace. Oh, it's salvation is, but not the reward. And when he comes again, he will bring his reward. Now, one thing we must warn people about, don't try to assess your own reward. Just get on with the work. Just get on with doing whatever the Spirit is leading you to do. But just know that when there's opposition, persecution, more reward. When there's things that you have to persevere through by faith, more reward. When you have to cling on by your fingertips, which is how it appears sometimes, greater reward. Because you persevere. And you don't give up. And you don't stop. When you keep giving and giving and giving, more reward. When you lend and expect nothing in return, more reward. Why haven't we taught more about reward? Why did Jesus keep mentioning reward? Why does the Scripture say when he comes again, he will bring his reward? Praise Him for the gift of salvation. Praise Him for His enabling. For the rich reward. Amen. Let's all stand. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Lord. Come on, let's just lift our hearts, lift our voices. Oh, Lord, we don't deserve anything. And by Your grace, You've given us salvation. By Your grace, You work within us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are the author of our faith. You're the perfecter of our faith. That when we want to step out in obedience to Your word, You will always give us the faith to do so. You will work that faith in us so that we can have the rich rewards of faith. Thank You, Lord. The rewards of faith are the fulfillment of everything that You have promised. Oh, thank You, Lord, for the crown of life. Thank You for the crown of glory. Thank You, Lord, that You are raising up a people that will reign with You for all eternity, who will be seated with You on Your throne in heaven. And Lord, we just give You all the glory, all the honor, all the praise that You have called us, You have chosen us, You have appointed us, that we should go and bear much fruit, fruit that abides. We give You all the glory, Lord, all the honor, all the praise. We bless Your wonderful name. Now, Lord, we thank You for Your mercy. We thank You for Your wonderful forgiveness. We thank You, Lord, that You have eradicated from the record books all those things that You've forgiven, all the ways we've messed up, all the times we failed You, all the times we got it wrong, all the times we didn't heed what You said, all the times, Lord, when we actually disobeyed what You said. Thank You, Lord, for Your mercy. Thank You for Your forgiveness. Thank You, Lord, that Your blood washes us clean of all guilt. Thank You that we will not stand before You in any shame because You took all our shame upon Yourself. Thank You, Lord, for that precious gift of salvation that will take us through the judgment and into Your eternal glory. But, Lord, we don't want to just be in that glory. We don't want to be saved only as through fire, but we want, Lord, You to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Hallelujah. Lord, when You come again, if You come again while we're still on this earth, we want You to find us serving. We want You to find us serving Your people, motivating them, enabling them, Lord, to work and receive the rich reward that is stored up for them. And we just give You glory. We give You honor. We give You praise. Oh, how we bless You, Lord. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Oh, come on. I think we need to really release our hearts in praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Sata barazatu bakarazitu di sanduma. Balatapari ezitu di satu bakarazitu di sanduma. Now, Lord, we've already asked You to forgive us for all the soulishness of the past. As we stand before You tonight, we say, Lord, we want to be the spiritual people that You need to herald the coming again of Jesus. Lord, we want our churches to reflect that kingdom life. And Lord, we ask for such an anointing from Your Spirit tonight upon every one of us here, that we will be able to motivate Your people.
that if we're not already motivators, you will turn us into motivators. That we will have an anointing to motivate, Lord. Come on, just reach up to heaven. Take hold of that anointing. An anointing to motivate. Thank you, Lord, for an anointing to create a kingdom-conscious people, a kingdom-focused people, kingdom workers, not church workers, Lord, but kingdom workers. Purata parazato bakarazito ba, balata pariazeto bakarazito ba. Those that will seek first the kingdom of God, knowing the reward will be that everything will be added to them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Purata parazato bakarazito. Thank you, Lord, for kingdom faith, kingdom life, kingdom authority, kingdom power. Parata parazato bakarazito ba. Purata pariazeto bakarazito ba. Thank you for that kingdom motivation. Purata pariazeto risataria leto bakarazito ba. Bata pariazeto risato bakarazito ba. Poparazata pariazeto risarato bakarazito ba. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we dare to believe that you have a rich reward awaiting everyone in this room. We praise you, Lord, for whatever you have done through us in the past. We recognize all the glory, for that belongs to you. And Lord, we want the days of greater fruitfulness to be ahead of us. And we give you all the praise. Now, Lord, we're praying for the people that you've called us to lead. We pray that as we go from this conference, that those that, because of their soulishness, don't have real revelation of the kingdom, that somehow there will be such an anointing on us as we present the good news of the kingdom that they will move out of their soulish thinking into spiritual thinking, out of church-centeredness into kingdom focus. We pray, Lord, for the also-rans, those that are just sort of there but aren't doing anything. We believe, Lord, that because you put a spirit of motivation upon us, we're going to be able to motivate even them. That somehow your spirit is going to work through us, through what we say, through what we do, that they're even going to become excited about working for the kingdom, working for the king. Now, we just stand against any fear of speaking about reward, any fear that we will be misunderstood, any fear that we will think people will think we're talking about trying to earn salvation. No, Lord, we know that is your precious gift to us. So, Lord, I just pray that every one of us will be very clear in our presentation of the difference between salvation and reward. We thank you that salvation is the fruit of what you have done, and reward is what you have done through us, what we have done in obedience to you. Now, Lord, finally we just pray that what we do will survive.
the testing of fire. We know that everything we truly do in your name, in obedience to you, will survive that testing. So, Lord, we want to be the obedient people that you've called us to be, obeying you out of love for you, Lord. Not fear of judgment or fear of losing reward, but out of a real love for you. And we praise you. Let's have the band up. We just got to rejoice in God tonight, haven't we? I think we've just got to praise him. I you know, sometimes I just sense that a meeting, a message is like a watershed. You know, there is what happened before the message and what happens after the message. And that somehow the message in and of itself is just a message, but after the message, things are different. And there's a greater fruitfulness. And things change. Because we not only agree with the message and respond to the message in the moment, but we go and live the message. And you know that I've experienced times of revival, but I can tell you this, every time of revival has been preceded by God working in the hearts of people to cause them to want to work, to reach the world with the kingdom. And so God is ready to revive such a people. So they can work in the power of the Spirit. God can work much more effectively and powerfully through them. So there may be a work to do. We decided that we were going to start living in revival, didn't we? That we can make that decision not to be soulish, but to be spiritual. Well, you know, there's a work God probably has to do in each fellowship that's represented here in order to really get people motivated. Not just some of them probably already are. But God wants to gather them all in, doesn't he, in unity. Every member of the body, yes? Oh, praise God. Can't you see? Can you see with the eyes of faith? Can you see the greater fruitfulness? Can you see more people that are going to be reached with his love, with his life, with his power, with his glory, with his healing, with his deliverance? Can't you see it? Hallelujah. And not just through you, see, but through every member of the body. Can't you see them all getting motivated? Can't you see that suddenly you've got a whole congregation of workers and they're all eager and they're all running after a great reward? I mean, can you see it? Can you see it with the eyes of faith? Come on, let's lift our hands and thank God for it then. Hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.